Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today is Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show with me today. So we have a news topic today, and we have an informational topic today. So we're going to start with the news topic. And the news topic is that a gentleman named Sandy Parakilis, and I apologize as a person with an oddly spelled last name if I am screwing up the pronunciation of that. I'm sorry, Sandy. This person, I don't want to call him Sandy because it's not like we're friends, but I don't want to call him Mr. by his last name because I don't want to keep screwing it up. Apple has hired this fellow who used to work at Facebook, and specifically not just worked at Facebook, but worked in privacy at Facebook.
Quote unquote Facebook privacy.
Yeah, I thought you were going to quote privacy. Yeah, he worked on privacy at Facebook. He was there a while ago. To be fair, this wasn't like Apple went and poached him straight out of Facebook's offices and said, come work for us down the street.
Yeah, so basically his job at Facebook, like, he was a legitimate person there. We're just making fun of Facebook and not him.
Right.
But his job was to try to make sure Facebook developers were complying to whatever privacy policy they had. And it doesn't sound like it was successful.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up going before the UK Parliament to testify about some data sharing policies that damaged a lot of customer relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left at Uber for a job at Uber there, and then he left somewhere else, and now Apple has hired him, which I think is a good move.
Yeah, I'm curious how he ended up at Apple, only because it looks like he went from Facebook to Uber, and then from Uber to the Center for Humane Technology, which is an interesting place. If you don't know much about the organization, part of what they do is, I think some like lobbying a little bit. They want stricter regulation on tech companies. It's not like they want everything completely locked down, but they want them to be subject to regulation just like any other industry in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and be subject to laws and have to follow them and have to suffer consequences when they don't and things like that. And there's not a lot of that going on right now. So that's sort of what this organization wants to have happen. And I'm interested in what he's going to do for them, partly because he worked at two companies that are not necessarily known for how well they protect customer data.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm interested to know what he brings to the table specifically.
Yeah, working at Apple will definitely be his time to shine, I think, for privacy. The only thing I could find about his possible role at Apple was just make sure that new products minimize data collection, and when they do collect data, make sure that privacy is protected. So basically what Apple is already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if he'll have maybe a different role as well.
Well, I'm wondering on that level, if that's what it is he's most likely going to end up doing, is if he's going to be doing that for Apple software, like making sure that Messages isn't actually tracking you, or that Pages isn't doing something weird with customer data, or if he's going to work more on the App Store side of things and make sure that apps that are submitted to the App Store don't do this kind of shady stuff. Because it happens every once in a while. We see it where something gets into the App Store that's doing something that it shouldn't be doing with information that it's not supposed to have. So
yeah, that'd be nice if, like, maybe he'll work with Phil Schiller on the App Store.
Yeah, I'd like to see a little bit, maybe, you know, refining the requirements and the regulation of what you are allowed to collect in the App Store, and having all of that be super obvious and super clear, and making those things very obviously, like, you have violated this or you have not violated this. And, you know, here's what you have to do if you want to get people's information. Here's what you have to do if you want to, you know, if you're going to do anything with it, here's the kind of alerts you have to have and different things like that. So I sort of like, I like the idea that he might be doing it for Apple software, but I think I almost like the idea more that he might be doing it in the name of the App Store, and that it's something where he would be working more with iOS and macOS developers in order to get all of that stuff sort of under control, because there's a whole lot more to deal with on that side than there is on the Apple side. And I don't remember the last time I heard Apple software do something shady with my data. So, and, you know, for whatever reason, and maybe I just don't use, I don't use a lot of stock Apple software, so maybe that has something to do with it. But I hope that this is one of those things that also could help bolster the relationship developers have with Apple through the App Store, because making those regulations clear, making that stuff very obvious, and having a lot of clarity around what you have to do if you do want that information. Like, if you're going to write a new contact manager, obviously you need to be able to get access to people's contact information, you know. I need access to your address book if I'm building the app that's going to manage your address book. So being very clear about what that means and how you present that to somebody who's installed the app for the first time, I think would be good, because I know a lot of developers, and almost all of them, have some sort of ongoing issue in their relationship with the App Store, whatever it may be. So I really like the idea that maybe this would help improve that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it would too. So I think the future is bright.
Yes. And if Sandy would like to come on the show and talk to me about it, I would be more than happy to have him on here to tell me all about what it is that he's doing at Apple, even if there aren't a lot of specifics. Just broad strokes would be super awesome, because I'm always interested in where that's going to go. So,
yes, please. We know you're listening, Sandy, so you should come on and be a guest.
Yes, please do. I would also like very much if you told me how to pronounce your last name, and I will do so correctly in the future. And definitely, if you want to talk about it, we would love to have you on to discuss further. In the meantime, what I would like to discuss with all of you is our CES sponsors. We have coverage live at CES on the ground this week. We have Dave Hamilton and John Braun there. You heard them yesterday on the show talking about all of the interesting stuff that they had seen even before the show floor opened. And now part of what makes that coverage possible is that we have sponsors for all of that. And today's sponsor is Bombuck Software. And you may not know the name of the company, but you do know the name of the app that they produce, and that's Carbon Copy Cloner. Carbon Copy Cloner is a really great way to back up your computer. And it will do APFS formatted source volumes and destination volumes. You can create snapshots. You can create read-only snapshots. So you can have a preserved in amber sort of version of your laptop or your iMac. And then that way, like, if you go to a system update or something, you can always roll back to that read-only snapshot. And then that way you don't end up having any sort of weird stuff. And it does a full, exactly what it says on the tin, carbon copy cloner. So it's not a Time Machine backup where you have to be using Time Machine in order to restore everything. It's just all sitting there, and you can copy things back and forth as you want to. You can see a list of all of the snapshots available if you want to. You can delete snapshots easily. With Carbon Copy Cloner, you can set up how long you keep those snapshots. It does do incremental backup in the same style as Time Machine does, but it also gives you the opportunity to decide how long you keep any of those backups, how long they stick around, when you want to get rid of them. You can also restore from a previous snapshot, just like you can with Time Machine, with a bad, if you end up with a bad OS update. I actually helped somebody with this over the holidays. The update got partway through and couldn't do anything else, and the machine was in this weird state. And so being able to restore from that Carbon Copy Cloner backup made it really, really easy to save the day. So definitely check out Carbon Copy Cloner if you get the opportunity. I definitely recommend it. And the URL for that is bombich.com. And check them out and find out more from them. And now I want to talk about an article, Andrew, that you wrote about five iOS features that you may have forgotten about.
Yeah, so probably the biggest feature people seem to forget about, I see this a lot on Reddit, is actions you can do with 3D touch.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of things that I forgot about, too. So I thought it would be a great idea to put a list like this together.
I think I saw on Reddit recently where somebody said nobody has posted about the cursor feature of the keyboard in about an hour. Is everyone okay? So it's that same sort of thing. This does speak to the discoverability or lack thereof of certain things in iOS. But I want to hear what the five were that, or at least a couple of what the five were that you rediscovered for yourself.
Yeah, so I did include the cursor mode thing. That's number three. So if you're a listener who doesn't know this, basically you can 3D touch on the keyboard and it will let you move the cursor around easily like a mini trackpad.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have 3D touch, just long press on the keyboard or the space bar. So it's very handy.
Yeah, and it's the first time it happens, it's weird. And then once you figure out what exactly is happening, it's super duper great. So yeah, from more than one person I've heard, what happened to my keyboard? No, check this out. It's cool. Watch. like every time. So yeah, that's really handy one for, especially for editing. Like if you're on your phone.
Yeah. So a feature that I had forgotten about coming in at number one, this is a feature that actually was added in all the way back in iOS 10. And so if you swipe up or swipe down whatever kind of phone you have to access the control center, you will see a flashlight icon in it.
Yes.
And if you 3D touch, again, it's a 3D touch icon, 3D touch that and you can adjust the brightness.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yes, that one I use constantly because I usually only want just enough light to do what I'm doing and I don't need it to be, you know, visible from space. So I almost always have mine on the lowest setting. One of the ones that I use, the two 3D touch features that I use the most on my phone are the camera for different things. Sometimes you want a selfie, sometimes you want to go straight to video and it will do that for you. And then on the phone app, if you 3D touch the phone app, your top, I think it's four favorites show up right there. So if you 3D touch the phone app, you can, you know, swipe down and let go on the one that you want to call. And, you know, those people are in my favorites because I hear from them a lot and because I have to initiate a call to them often. So I will have, so I have those set up. And so when I do have to make a phone call, that makes it even faster because I don't have to go to the phone app or anything to do that. So I like those a lot. And I know a couple of people who 3D touch in messages was just a revelation because over time, the 3D touch gets smarter about who you message at different times during the day. So if you regularly, if I regularly message you, Andrew, about 11 o'clock because we go to lunch often at noon, then if I go 3D touch my messages icon about 11 o'clock, it will say new message to Andrew.
Oh, that's cool.
And if you normally text somebody when you're on your way home or normally text somebody, you know, at whatever time of day, if you 3D touch, then at different times of day, it's part of the Siri and the machine learning stuff that we've heard about before, where it sort of learns some habits. And so then when you 3D touch on it, it will pop up a different thing. So if I normally text somebody first thing in the morning, then when I 3D touch messages first thing in the morning, eventually that person's name will start showing up there because that's the person I'm normally talking to when I open messages at that time of day.
Nice.
That one's really...
I didn't know that either.
So there's a bonus.
Put that in the list.
Yeah. So apparently Andrew's going to make a list of another five. What I do want to do is point out, if you do something regularly in iOS, particularly with 3D touch, that tends to get a lot of other people's attention because they didn't realize it was a thing that they could do, we want to hear about it because I would like to share them. And maybe there are five more features that either we didn't know or could rediscover, and Andrew will have another article to write. So yeah, you definitely. Can you can do that by emailing us at observations@macobserver.com. You can find us on Twitter at TMO Daily, and you can always comment on the show notes on the site there at macobserver.com. We like all those things, and definitely if there's something interesting that you're doing in iOS that makes people go, what was that? You know, how did you do that? That's generally what we want to hear about. And part of that is because you never know what other people don't know. So, like, Andrew, I remember telling you about the phone thing, and you go, oh, hey, I didn't realize that was a thing. Yep. And so occasionally if there's somebody that I need to talk to a lot in the short term, like, I will adjust my favorites list to make sure that person, I have an easy way to call that person, you know, while we're working on an event or something. So that's always kind of fun. Give us one more tip from your article that you liked, and we'll talk about it.
Yes. So this is an important one, managing notifications. And I mentioned it's important because Apple has been also saying not only about privacy, but minimizing screen time and mm-hmm. making sure everyone is like mindful about the barrage of notifications we might get.
Yes.
So if you get a banner in the notification center, the lock screen, they have like a new name for it now, but you can 3D touch on a banner or swipe left, tap manage, or tap the three dots.
Oh.
And you can either have it deliver quietly mm-hmm. or manage it for each app. So, you know, you can have turn off notifications altogether for one app or another app, and just turn on manage quietly, which I think just might, like, you still get the notifications, but maybe it just removes the sound.
I think they show up in
a lot.
I do too. I think it's for, like, they show up in Notification Center. And, like, if you are using your phone when the notification comes in, it'll show up at the top and disappear. You don't have to take any action for it, and it doesn't make any noise when the notification shows up.
Okay. So, yeah, that's another helpful one.
Yeah. And I do sometimes go through occasionally. This is one of the things that I do often is I have all my updates set to be manual instead of automatic. And part of the reason I do that is because lots of apps update regularly, and then when I go through and update them, like, wait, have I ever even opened that app, or when was the last time I used it for anything? I don't need that. And so it's kind of a good way to sort of surface those, because there's not really anything on your phone that goes, you know, yeah, you haven't used this in a month, you know, or anything like that. Yeah. Like, it should, you know, like when you install a new app and it gets the little dot indicator next to it because it's been installed recently, I want one for that that's like, you haven't opened this app in a month. And then be like, okay, you know, maybe I should really rethink whether or not this should get to take up all that space on my phone. Yeah, that would be nifty. Maybe iOS 13.
Games do that a lot. Like, some games will send you a notification that says, hey, you haven't played in 3 days, come back to us.
Yep. Yeah, and that's usually the fastest way to get uninstalled from my phone. Like, nope. You're not there. Yeah, that's not why. That's not the point of my phone, is not to play your game. I do find those kind of aggravating, but I do like the idea of being able to surface those occasionally and be able to see, like, oh yeah, I installed this and I stuck it in a folder on the last page and I forgot all about it until this moment. And that's part of why I like to have the updates manually, is partly because sometimes an update will really break something badly, and then I want to make sure I can still use the app. So I make sure that I'm not installing something that's going to end up breaking something that I actually like using. And the other reason is because it does pop up every once in a while. You know, everything gets an update eventually. And hey, like, I don't remember the last time I opened that app. I have that installed. Like, that's a sure bet that maybe that's the thing that I could probably remove and not really hurt anything with. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are interesting. We also, if you back up a little bit, you can hear all the ways that you can contact the show. And we would like to hear how you manage notifications. One of the other things that I like about having an Apple Watch is that it sort of helps me remember to ratchet down notifications. Like, there's only certain stuff that makes it all the way to the watch. And in so doing, it also makes me think about, like, why am I even letting this have space on my lock screen? Like, why am I even letting the notifications pop up on my phone? And so sometimes that will help ratchet down as well. So those are things.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that was one of the unexpected side effects of getting an Apple Watch was, I don't want all this stuff on my arm. Like, wait, maybe I don't want any of this stuff on my phone either. And I did end up turning off a whole lot of stuff. And I'm much happier for it, I will say. Because there's a whole lot less happening. Even when I have the sound on my phone, it still doesn't make lots of noise. So it's pretty great. Andrew, thanks for coming by and talking to me about iOS features and about Facebook hires over at Apple.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And one thing I do want to point out is that I think it's entirely possible that you will hear more about the Facebook hire on Apple Context Machine when that comes out a little bit later this week. I know that Brian wanted to talk about that on that show, so you can probably hear more from them about that soon. And I have been your host, Kelly Gamont, for Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.